Welcome to the Microsoft IT Pro Podcast, a show about Office 365, Azure, and the IT Pro and end user side of life. Each week, we'll discuss a different topic or recent news related to Office 365 and Azure and how it relates to you as an IT Pro. The Microsoft IT Pro Podcast is never longer than 30 minutes, so let's get started.
You've made it.
I've made it. We are here. Hi, Scott. How are you?
It's always weird when you're sitting in a hotel kitchen.
Yeah.
Yep.
Better a kitchen than other hotel places we could be sitting together.
Yeah, way to make it awkward.
Yep.
So what are we here to talk about?
We're here to talk about keynote announcements. It is the night before the Microsoft Ignite keynote, and we are indeed sitting in a hotel room recording a podcast because we got a little bit of a preview, so we figured we'd throw together some of our thoughts over some of the announcements so we can release this right along with the keynote tomorrow.
I love your dedication.
Yeah, my dedication, your dedication. You're doing this on like 2 hours of sleep.
It's going to be one of our best episodes ever.
Probably the most downloaded one we've ever had.
So where do you want to start for keynote announcements?
Keynote announcements?
Things that make Ben happy.
Things that make me happy? Sponsors make me happy. Can I talk about sponsors first?
Absolutely.
Okay. So yes, because we are recording this like 12 hours before we're less than 12 hours before we're going to publish it, we're not going to have time to go in and do much editing, so you're just kind of going to get what it is. But we do have our sponsors. We want to say thank you to them. They definitely help keep us going. So mover.io. Cloud migration company, super awesome. Go check those guys out if you're wanting to do a cloud migration. Mover.io for them. And the guys over at Office365Mon. Nice, easy website to remember. Office365Mon.com. All your Office 365 monitoring needs. And then Sperry software. So Outlook plugins. Again, if you're looking for some Outlook plugins, I actually know Mike over at Sperry Software. He makes a ton of really awesome Outlook plugins. So go check out his website, www.sperrysoftware.com/cloudIT. Again, just a big thanks to them. They make me happy. They make it possible to keep doing fun stuff like this.
Excellent. Well, let's get into some of the fun announcements.
So all right.
You want to start with Office 365 and SharePoint and Exchange and all that fun stuff?
And all those good things? Absolutely. So the one that makes me happiest in all of this is one that I'm slightly partial toward because I'm on a Mac. So there's going to be, there's some new announcements around the Mac and OneDrive. Guess what? We are finally getting OneDrive files on demand for the Mac.
It's about time.
It is.
Well, I mean, no, I'm glad it's here.
I would concur with it's about time. This is when we actually asked Dan Holm about this last year at Ignite. I inquisitively asked him where it was for the Mac because we had it for Windows and he was like, yeah, we want it too. And that was about all we got. Lo and behold, it is coming. I hope it works well. Personally, I'm kind of tired of paying an extra $400 for an extra 512 gigs of hard drive space on my Mac. Who knows? Maybe files on demand for the Mac will allow me to save a few bucks on my next Mac hardware purchase.
Well, you know, if that doesn't work out for you, you know what is going to work well.
I do not.
Microsoft Teams and Yammer.
Microsoft Teams and Yammer? Does that one make you happy?
Yeah.
Did you always want to have a Yammer conversation in a team conversation?
Better together. So Microsoft Teams and Yammer, they're coming together for stronger collaboration. So that's all going to be through a new Yammer tab inside your wonderful Microsoft Teams app and Electron and all the goodness that comes with it.
You know what? I try not to be negative about Yammer. I don't get it. This one I legitimately don't understand. I guess maybe if you want to, I don't know. Maybe if you want to have that big corporate conversation available in your local department conversation and be able to quickly flip to it easily, it makes sense. But yeah, having a Yammer tab in Teams, it seems like I'm integrating a chat tool into a chat tool.
Still going tab to tab.
Yeah, unless we go back to our whole concept of Microsoft Teams as becoming the next Internet Explorer, where now instead of going to Internet Explorer to do all things Office 365, you just go into Teams and you spend all day in Teams doing all of your Office 365 stuff and just leave your browser closed.
It could be a little bit. They've actually announced, or they're going to announce, a couple of things around custom views and metadata and formatting. So think like row and column formatters and some of the latest enhancements that we've had to things like SharePoint lists. Those will be coming into the native SharePoint files experience inside of Teams as well. So for having one-stop shopping to access all of not only your chats and files that are associated with chats, but also just files on an island by themselves. That's all coming together as well.
Yeah, this one I am actually excited about. I have had clients for a long time say, you know what, it's great that Teams has files and those files get stored in SharePoint, but the way it is today, it defeats the whole purpose of having metadata and views and content types and row formatting because none of it gets surfaced into Teams.
Yeah, I'm hoping there's just a mistake in the press release, but it talks about just syncing files to Windows with OneDrive files on demand and not that nifty new Mac OneDrive files on demand.
Oh, yeah, I missed that part under the whole Teams and SharePoint thing. We'll have to find out.
We've only got to wait 12 hours and then it's here.
I know. I'm not too concerned about that one. I'm just glad we finally get like that actual SharePoint document library interface in Teams instead of this kind of one-off view of our files in Teams.
Yeah, you're also going to be introduced to Office Ideas.
Yeah. Office Ideas. This one I feel like is one that's sort of pseudo been out there for a little bit. It talks about like PowerPoint ideas are those whole designs and layouts and images where you kind of go put a slide together and then it gives you ideas of ways you can format and arrange the slide. I can't remember what that is actually called in PowerPoint today. I think it might be design ideas or
something similar.
So
like
this is something similar to that. It's they talk about PowerPoint, but they also talk about in Excel, being able to recognize trends, suggest charts, outliers in data. So this is one of those, hey, let's kind of try to bring some of that AI, Azure intelligence stuff into Office 365 to help you better create PowerPoints, better manage your data in Excel, all that type of stuff.
Yeah, a little bit of a different experience, and actually coming to Excel first.
Yeah.
And then PowerPoint and all the other things behind
right.
it.
Right. And I think if I I was trying to remember as we were going through some of these, I don't think this is the continued search thing. I don't know where this is going to surface. Was this going to surface as a box at the top of Office, or was that the search experience that they were going to bring into Office? All my announcements were getting muddled together.
I don't even know anymore.
We'll have to wait and see tomorrow. but they are continuing to improve search, too. Unifying that Microsoft search. So last year, they talked about Bing for Business and trying to integrate Bing and Office 365 search. This actually sounds like it's kind of going the other way now, where they're going to have this new unified search experience in Microsoft 365. Which, going back to some of our earlier podcasts, this isn't Office 365, it's Microsoft 365, which ties Windows into it, it ties all the Office apps into it, and it's kind of a new search engine. They describe it as an AI-powered insights engine that connects content across Windows, Office, Office apps, SharePoint, OneDrive, and even third-party ecosystems to help with those search results. And in the back end too, they're tying this back into Bing, Microsoft Graph, some of the AI technology. So just kind of continuing to try to improve upon, expand that search experience across all of your Microsoft 365 applications, not just Office 365.
Yeah, this one continues to build on investments from last year. So for those that were at Ignite last year, they announced things like Bing for Business and being able to generate insights out of those systems. And this carries additional systems into the indices for query and being able to bring those forward and surface them in meaningful ways. So it's going to be in preview capability for office.com and also just your regular start pages. So maybe your start page in something like Edge and Bing.com as well. So rolled out across all the experiences and ready to go. So now we're not only aggregating content and content services, but also personalization services or data that's surfaced from the graph as well.
Yeah, that one, again, interesting. It's nice to see that continuing to expand. One thing I do wonder, and we haven't really seen yet, and I don't know if we're going to see any of it this year or not, is how some of these improvements on search are going to affect things that people may have done in SharePoint around, like the refiners, the metadata, some of that customization you used to be able to do to SharePoint search specifically, as all of these search. The search functionality rolls together, how that's going to affect it, to what level you're going to be able to customize it,
Well, a lot of that's going to be
that type of
driven by
stuff.
where your client or user comes in. So whether they're surfaced inside of Bing or inside of office.com or the search menu on Windows, or they've gone into SharePoint and clicked a search button.
Search box there, yeah. So we will
Lots
see.
of options.
So how about a mobile app? We're getting a mobile app.
We already have mobile apps.
We're getting a new mobile.
There's an app for
There's an
that.
app for that. There's an app to find my mobile apps. We're getting a Stream mobile app. This one has been missing.
It has been, but there's been that video mobile app, and
Right.
you could go to the Stream website
Yeah. Although
through My Apps and kinda sorta.
get there that way. But they announced, I don't know how long ago it was now, that the Office 365 video was going away and Stream was going to replace it. And it has taken this long to come up with a Stream mobile app. So, next month, October, we should get a Stream mobile app for iOS and Android. And it also is going to have support for offline viewing of videos in Stream.
Which is good. There's a couple of the Microsoft apps for video, things like Channel 9 have had that capability for a while now, to go ahead and pull those down and have them all ready to go, which is nice to see.
Yeah, so kind of the last one I've pulled out of the news announcements, and there very well may be more coming. There may be some we missed. Microsoft has said they have held some back too, that we'll just have to wait and see. But this one is nice to see too, is they're continuing that integration between LinkedIn and Office 365. So another one of those acquisitions that they've continued to evolve, work on the integration there. So coming soon, there is not a date on exactly when all this will occur, but you'll be able, I think now you can already connect them, but once you connect your LinkedIn and Office 365 accounts, you'll actually be able to co-author documents with people in your LinkedIn network. So use that Word, Excel, PowerPoint co-authoring that you can do today in Office 365 and SharePoint, and now do it with your LinkedIn network. And then send emails directly to your LinkedIn network from Outlook. So really almost bringing in your LinkedIn network into Office 365. Again, this will be interesting. I don't know if when you start collaborating with them, it's going to add them as a guest or just send them a standard external invite, or if they're doing something else behind the scenes where they're tying Microsoft accounts and LinkedIn accounts together. We'll have to see what details come out of this, but definitely integrating LinkedIn more into the Office 365 services, and then getting highlights about people in your meeting invite. So send out a meeting invite from Outlook, get some insights about those people, highlights from LinkedIn about those people, just to help give you more information about those connections you're meeting. So it sounds like, I don't know, have you gotten those prompts on your phone yet where you're about to go into a meeting and it says, "Hey, you're connected," or "Go connect with this person on LinkedIn," or "View them on LinkedIn." Have you seen those pop-ups?
Unfortunately.
See? So they're starting to do that even more. They're taking those to the next level just for you, Scott.
I can't wait. It's going to be glorious.
It will be. So yeah, those are the big ones I pulled out of it. Again, there's probably going to be more. We'll have to see. There's some kind of fun stuff in here. Nothing that really in my mind is groundbreaking. We were talking earlier, it's a lot of iterating on stuff that's already there. Not anything mind-blowing or completely brand new, like the whole SharePoint Spaces thing they announced at the SharePoint conference.
Yeah, no, I think a lot of the announcements in that space are iterative, and they continue to move things forward and leverage existing investments, which is great. But you know, that being said, they do have new services and new capabilities that are certainly in the pipeline and that have been announced as well. So there's a bunch in the security space that's come up. And we've been talking a little bit recently about things like multi-factor authentication and privileged identity management and fun stuff like that. So one of the really cool things that's coming is a brand new offering called Microsoft Threat Protection. So today there's an offering called Microsoft Identity Protection, which leverages the telemetry from both consumer and organizational identity to help you do things like risk-based conditional access and pull all of that together. So Microsoft Threat Protection, very much where Office 365 focuses on Office and Microsoft 365 focuses on an ecosystem. Microsoft Threat Protection, or MTP, will also focus on an ecosystem. So pulling together all of the different threat protection solutions for email, so things like EOP, PCs where you have endpoint protection through Defender or ATP, document protection, identity protection, and also infrastructure protection. So we have all these things like DDoS services and other service offerings that sit in front of Azure and Office 365 and Bing and kind of everything else. So Microsoft Threat Protection is going to bring all that together and offer everyone kind of one-stop shopping or an end-to-end solution for Office, PCs, mobile devices, everything in between, for not only detecting threats, but also potentially remediating them and pushing them through. And I think that's really cool, because if you think about the landscape and companies that have the ability to leverage an influx of data, Microsoft sees so much data coming in across all these different systems, whether it's somebody logging in through Azure Active Directory or an MSA account to Outlook.com or a botnet that's attacking, you know, X number of tenants or X number of virtual machines that are hosted someplace. There's really a lot of interesting data out there that they can leverage, pull across, and surface for customers in meaningful ways.
Yeah, that's a good point. And this is a nice one. And I think, I can't remember if we talked about it before, and I was listening to somebody's podcast where they actually talked about the number of attacks and threats that Microsoft sees in their security center in a day.
That was probably ours. We've talked about that a couple
times. Yeah, and that could be, it's a huge number.
Quite a few. So there's a couple things that are happening here. So there's Microsoft Threat Protection, which is going to be a new service and kind of tying together a wider ecosystem of products to get them to congeal in some more meaningful ways. You're also going to have access to a new Secure Score service in the form of Microsoft Secure Score. So today we have Secure Score with Office, and being able to kind of score ourselves either internally or against organizations of the same size. And Microsoft Secure Score, again, expands that ecosystem and helps customers understand their all-up security position within everything within the Microsoft landscape and potentially what they consume out of. So let's take telemetry from not only our Office 365 Secure Score and have we enabled baseline protection policies and conditional MFAs for our managed accounts? Have we done the right things that we need to do and encrypted our mailboxes and enabled DLP or whatever it happens to be? And let's take that a step further and maybe look at clients and say, hey, if we're doing, say, cloud app security or we have some other kind of CASB in place, are we watching to make sure that our clients are only doing the things they need to do, or that our clients are maintaining our posture and our policies within the workplace? And then let's take that a step further and extend it into identity with Azure Active Directory and also your virtual infrastructure or potentially your physical infrastructure, depending on nodes you monitor, with things like Azure Security Center as well. So let's not just understand our cloud posture, but also our infrastructure posture, either software defined within Azure or within another cloud or some other premises, to bring everything back together and give CISOs or security members of the organization one-stop shopping to get in and get at the bits and pieces that they need to know that are relevant day to day.
Yep. So one other one around security, Azure AD. This one is one that's been there for Microsoft accounts for a little bit.
It's super nifty for Microsoft accounts.
It is. I like it. except that when you forget your number, when you have to go push the right number. but anyway, it's password-free sign-in for Azure Active Directory accounts.
Yeah, so this is interesting, and I'm a huge fan of leveraging Azure Active Directory as one IDP to rule them all, and kind of being a centralized identity provider, and let that go ahead and issue SAML tokens and do what it needs to do.
As long as it's up, right? I mean, when it crashes, it causes...
Well, let's just assume in the future that it won't crash.
That's all fixed? Okay.
Yeah, because things are going to get
done. I just had to throw that in there.
I know. but hey, your passwords can't be compromised if you can't log in.
So that is true.
Either way, the service is going to work swimmingly. But today, there is the ability for Microsoft accounts or MSAs to go ahead and sign up for password-free sign-in. And what that does is when you go to sign in with your MSA, you get a push notification to mobile device, could be Android or iOS or maybe like an Apple Watch, something like that. Is this the code you see on the screen? You hit approve and you are just seamlessly signed in. That same capability is going to come to Azure Active Directory and organizational apps. So the really cool thing about this is if you use Azure Active Directory as one IDP to rule them all, you're not just getting password-free sign-in for Azure and for Office 365 and for Intune or Dynamics or workloads that happen to carry into that identity ecosystem. You're also getting the same tangible benefits for any other SaaS application or something you might use with like an app proxy to go ahead and tie in and have the same capability to do passwordless sign-in for anything through Azure AD for users who sign up for this. So this is really good because now there's less of an excuse for users to have a hesitation to having perhaps more complex passwords. Or having organizations that have policies where, like, you must change your password every 3 days. No, that's horrible, and it's user hostile, and nobody wants to do that. So let's find a balance with a little bit of sanity and maybe enable features like this. Allow users to get a push notification to a known device, and, you know, they can go ahead and continue to access services however they need to. So let's eliminate passwords and still combine phones, fingerprints, effectively like two-factor, multi-factor authentication in a really secure way.
Yeah, and that's one point, too, is some people are like, well, if you eliminate passwords, is this still MFA. And the way it works, it's still technically an MFA solution, because even though it's just a push notification, you have to approve it, it still also requires, with that approval, face ID, fingerprint ID, a PIN. So even if somebody, if I gave Scott my phone, he tried to log in as me, the push notification came to my phone, and you tried to approve it, it would still prompt for some type of
other ID.
You still have to unlock it with your face, with your fingerprint, whatever. So you're still getting those multiple forms of authentication, even though it's completely password free.
Yep. Which is awesome.
It is.
What else?
All right, what else? Well, any other Azure stuff?
There is a slew of Azure stuff that's coming. There's going to be a ton of disk performance announcements, things like Ultra SSD managed disks coming into public preview. Standard SSD disks are going to be going GA. Premium files are coming out. So there's a ton of great things coming around files and availability. Also a bunch of networking features that have been in public preview for the last couple of months are going to be coming a little bit more forward. So we talked in the past about virtual WAN and virtual firewall. So virtual WAN is going to GA, as is virtual firewall, and both those services will continue to be altered and kind of grow and change in some meaningful ways. There's a really cool new service that's going to be announced in public preview, which is called AFD, or Azure Front Door, or the Azure Front Door service, not to be confused with ADFS. This is AFDS.
We have way too many acronyms.
We do, but that's okay. So this is an application acceleration platform that is already used internally by Microsoft services. So when you today browse to Bing and Office 365 and Xbox.com, things like that, these are all proxied by an application gateway that's called Azure Front Door already. And what they're going to do is they're going to bring Front Door forward to consumers of Azure to be able to purchase this as a service. So it's kind of a combination of application gateway meets traffic manager. So DNS load balancing, layer 7 load balancing, also layer 7 application protections. So things like the ability to push from edge locations to any place you need in the world and have monitoring and any kind of service control over those backends and what goes into them and the traffic that drives into them, which is going to be super cool. In addition to some of that stuff, so things like virtual WAN coming forward, when we talked about virtual WAN, there was a pretty big limitation within that service in that you couldn't use virtual WAN with ExpressRoute. So there was no way to have an MPLS connection or super low latency, high speed connection from your branch to the Azure cloud. It always had to be kind of that WAN connection or that IPsec connection going up. So there's going to be a new service that's coming out in public preview, which is called Azure ExpressRoute Direct. So it's AED. And it's going to do a couple of things to ExpressRoute that ExpressRoute doesn't do today. So ExpressRoute circuits today are limited to 10 gigs. ExpressRoute Direct is going to bring 100 gig circuits online for customers. So if you're a customer and you're doing like whole scale data center collapses, large migrations, online data transfers, or you just need super high burst into an Azure data center, you're going to be able to get up to 100 gigs of connectivity into edge points within Microsoft's data center. So that's all well and good and really cool. But they're also going to bring in ExpressRoute Global Reach in public preview as well. So where virtual WAN can't join an ExpressRoute, Global Reach is going to let you do multiple ExpressRoute circuits. So say I'm in East US and West US, and I want to have circuits that go into kind of those two half geos. So now what I can do is, without purchasing ExpressRoute Premium, I can just purchase two circuits, have those two circuits go straight into Microsoft, and then have everything connected across their backbone and all of their fiber. So that is a super cool service, because now I can do burst 100 gig from wherever I want, and then potentially combine that with the speed of Microsoft's fiber network, which is a very unique offering. Like, you can't go to other cloud providers and get that today.
Got it. Very cool. I'm sure that one's going to be cheap.
Yeah. 100 gig circuits.
100 gig circuit, yeah.
Maybe
I can get one of those going to my house.
Yeah, no, they're nothing. Yeah. There's a bunch of other Azure stuff. There's going to be some newer blueprints that are coming. So we've talked about Azure blueprints in the past. So you're going to see some new kind of one-click deployments for not only the existing blueprints, but also extending the existing blueprints to include things like policy, user access controls, and kind of management and security plane within a blueprint to push them out. So where they drive to compliancy today, they'll still be compliant and driving into kind of modern governance capabilities, or letting the platform manage the platform, managing users the way we should be managing users, and pushing all of that information forward.
All right. Sounds good. Well, that's a lot. That was a whole bunch of announcements crammed into about 30 minutes. We really need to re-record our intro and say never longer than
about
30 minutes and put a disclaimer on there, because the last few, we admit, we have gone a little longer than 30 minutes. And again, I'm sure there's going to be a lot more news coming out. I know I've seen some tweets about a bunch of news around Planner that we have not been privy to the preview of that. So we'll keep an eye on some of that. If you're at Ignite this week, come say hi. We already ran into a couple people tonight. We were sitting down and having drinks, and they said they recognized our voices and came over and said hi. So it's kind of fun. Ran into some people already at Ignite that listen to the podcast. So if you listen to it, come say hi. We're really not that scary. We have stickers we'll give away. If you're going to be around Thursday, come check us out live. We'll have some things to give away there, maybe even a few shirts. So that's going to be 12:30 Eastern time. On Thursday, if you're looking at the schedule builder, just go look for pod 1014 and you'll find the podcast session. We're lining up some interviews for this week, so we'll have some more episodes coming with interviews from different people, see who we can line up. So I think that's about all. We'll wrap it up so we can go to bed and get to the keynote bright and early tomorrow morning.
Awesome. Thanks, Ben.
All right. Thanks, Scott.
If you enjoyed the podcast, go leave us a 5-star rating in iTunes. It helps to get the word out so more IT pros can learn about Office 365 and Azure. If you have any questions you want us to address on the show or feedback about the show, feel free to reach out via our website, Twitter, or Facebook. Thanks again for listening, and have a great day.